Of you who are able to be with us physically this morning, and also those of you who are worshiping with us online, we thank you for being with us this morning. I do have two things that I want to tell you about before we begin our lesson. Haley, who is Jared Christensen's, Amy's stepdaughter, Jared's daughter, she has tested positive for COVID. And so they are all quarantined, at least for the next, this says 5 days, okay? So please keep Amy and Haley and all of their family in your prayers. Also want to mention to you, I don't know if everybody has heard the news about the tornadoes that came through basically five states going through, but Kentucky was hit the hardest. There's a whole warehouse, Amazon warehouse, that's collapsed with people in it. There was a candle factory that collapsed and people in it. They're still trying to find people to rescue folks. This tornado apparently, there were at least 24 different tornadoes from what I understand. But one in particular went for 230 miles. Just drove a swath of, destruction. And they're looking at the possibility that some of that may have been the Category 5 tornado. And this is if you look at the pictures, the video from it, it's just total, complete destruction. And so we've got a lot of folks right now, not only those who, they're without power, they're without, we're talking about pharmacies that are gone. People have to get medicine. Water, food, everything is just completely gone from these places. So there's going to be a lot of struggle for a long time as they rebuild in this area. So please keep them in prayer. And I'm going to be talking with the other elders about this. But I would like for us to, if anybody would like to make a special contribution to the relief efforts. We'll be using the folks in Nashville that are associated with the church to, they have supplies, but they always, because they're responding to these things, need to be replenished. So if you would like to make a contribution for that, just keep that in mind, and we'll be making that available to folks to do so that we can help them to be able to help those that are in need there on the ground. So just please keep that in mind. And let's go to God in prayer before we begin our lesson. That's something that's very heavy on my heart this morning. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, and Father, we just thank you for the way that you bless our lives. And Father, we know that you are the God of this universe, and you are in control of everything that happens in it. Father, we first of all, we lift up Amy and Haley and all of their family and the struggle that they're having with Haley has with COVID. We pray that this doesn't spread throughout the family again. Father, we just ask your blessing upon them. But Father, also on our hearts this morning is all the folks that have been affected, directly affected by this storms that came through and this terrible tornado that has just devastated so much of this area. Father, we just pray, Father, for your guidance for those that are searching, trying to rescue people that are still trapped. Father, for the needs that many are going to have for a long, long time. And Father, we pray that you will help us to be able to reach out and to do what we can to help them in the efforts that they'll be making, just to try to help to relieve the misery and the suffering that so many are going through right now and will be for a long time. Father, guide us in the best way to do that. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Things I wish Jesus never said. Okay? Now, last week, if you recall, we talked about things Jesus never said. Okay? And that had to do with things that people claim that Jesus said, or at least they are things that church people, and that's mainly what we're talking about here, the way that church people kind of apply God's word, all right, that reflects their belief in things that, they say, well, yeah, the Bible says this, the Bible said that, or Jesus said this. when he really didn't. You see? By their actions, they imply that interpretation, at least, that Jesus said these things when he really didn't say them at all. Okay? There are some people who come right out and say, this is what the Bible says, when it doesn't say that at all. And that's kind of what we were looking at last week in our lesson. To be able to shoot down a lot of those things that people believe and people claim that Jesus said when he really didn't. So today, we're going to look at it from a different perspective, okay? We're going to look at things that Jesus actually said, but sometimes we wish he didn't really say that, okay? You ever had some of those things? Yeah. Come on, be honest, okay? Yeah. You know, things going on in your life where you just look at it and said, I know, gee, I wish Jesus hadn't said that, you know? That falls under this category. We've talked about this a lot. I know what the Bible says, but I really wish it didn't say that. Okay? And these are things that oftentimes are expressed by our actions. Okay? We all know actions do what? They speak louder than words. We say one thing, but we're doing something else. Okay? And there are those who actually have said, I've said it under my breath, but I've had people say, you know, directly to me, I sure wish Jesus, I know he said that, but I sure wish he didn't, you know? And when you think about it, as we're living our daily life, and we're confronted and we're faced with situations in life, that sometimes doing what Jesus says, doing what the Bible says, it's tough. And if we're really, really honest, that there are sometimes those situations where we look at it and say, yeah, I know that's what he said, but I sure wish he hadn't have said that. Because this situation would sure be a whole lot easier. We're going to look at three categories this morning of areas where, you know, we're going to look at things that Jesus said, and three particular areas where we, boy, sometimes it would sure be a lot easier if he hadn't said that. Most of the things that we're going to look at this morning come from the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? These are some tough teachings for those who would be true followers of Jesus. So let's take a look at some of these things that Jesus tells us to do that are tough. First of all is the category of, what does Jesus tell us about dealing with other people? Okay? Well, here's one, first of all. Again, he says, you heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Simply yet let your yes be yes and your no be no. And you know, sometimes I wish he hadn't said that. You know? You ever found yourself where, you know, you made a promise to someone and then you wish that you could take that promise back? Or maybe you have said, or at least you have heard someone say something like, I swear on my grandmother's grave. Now, something of that nature. In other words, that emphasis behind, you know, my grandmother, she was the sweetest woman in the world, and I would never lie to you, so I'm swearing on her grave. And that's kind of why people would say something like that. And Jesus is saying, no, don't do that. In other words, we need to be known as people who when we say something, people know that we're going to live up to whatever it is we say. If we say no, we mean no. If we say yes, we mean yes. And we got a big problem with that with a lot of folks. And there's a whole category of people called politicians, okay, that have a problem with this area, right? The old proverbial, how can you tell whether a politician is lying? Well, his or her lips are moving, right? Because they don't keep their promises. And we know that. Have you ever really thought about just, I'm not getting political here, just from the general category of politicians. Both sides of the aisle, by the way, okay? We know that they constantly lie to us. Okay? They know that they constantly lie to us. Yet we continue to keep voting them into office. What's wrong with us? I'm just saying, okay? All right? Because most of them are out there, they got a Pinocchio nose. Okay? Here's another group of folks. And this brings it a little bit closer to home, doesn't it? You say, how many times do we as parents tell our children something and then we go back on what we said? Okay? We make promises to them that we don't keep. Maybe our intention is good, but we don't follow through. Or how many times, just quite simply, do we tell our child no, and our child keeps on asking and keeps asking and keeps asking until we get to the point where we give them what they want just to shut them up? Isn't that the same thing? When we've said no or we've said yes, Jesus is saying, let that be it. Let that be what you are known. If you say yes to someone, then they know they can count on your yes. If you say no, then they know they can count on your no. And then he says, anything more than that, he says, is from the evil one. So we really need to be careful about the oaths and the promises that we make to people. Okay? Here's another one. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Man, I wish he hadn't said that sometimes. I mean, really. Turn the other cheek? Are you serious? I want to just smack him back. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Those are tough things. That sometimes, boy, it sure would be a lot easier if Jesus hadn't told us to do those things. And here's another one that falls into this very same category. You heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who mistreat and persecute you. Why did he have to go and say that? That's tough, isn't it? There are some times when, boy, I wish he hadn't said that, when, you know, that person is just really, I'm just being honest. You know, one of the things I'm going to confess something here, okay? People used to, and they don't ask me so much anymore because I've been away from it for so long, but people used to ask me all the time, do you ever miss being a policeman? And my response oftentimes has been, the one thing that I really miss is when somebody got me mad, I could arrest them. I mean, there's, you know, it's really not difficult to find something. Somebody that's being, you know, out there that you're having to encounter, that you're having to deal with, you know, it's not hard to find a reason to put them in jail. Okay? And it's like, fine, you know, this you're under arrest. That felt so much better. And then I found out what Jesus says about this. And I had to change my attitude about that. Sometimes, boy, I wish he hadn't said that. And isn't that true? I mean, we deal sometimes with people that are just really tough to deal with, and they want to smack us either, you know, physically or emotionally. They smack us, and what do we want to do? We want to smack them right back, don't we? That's our nature. Jesus is telling us, don't follow your nature. That's your sinful nature. I'm telling you to pray for them. See? Look at what he says. The reason for him telling us to behave this way, to respond this way, look at what he says. That you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends the rain on the just and the unjust.
Amen.
You see, so Jesus tells us to do these things for a reason. At the time, we may not understand that reason, and we may not even like it, but if we just take a step back and look and realize, yeah, this is tough to walk away from, but I'm a child of God. See? How about this one? We've talked about this a lot of times. This is kind of from that same category. You know, Jesus is on a roll here in terms of how are we supposed to treat those who treat us badly? And now, not only can we not hit them back, but we got to forgive them. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. I wish he hadn't said that. I mean, there are times when I just don't want to forgive somebody. I'm still mad. I'm still hurt. And I just don't want to forgive them. Until I remember why. If I want him to forgive me for my many sins, I've got to forgive this person for their few sins against me. How about judging others? Don't we like to do this? I mean, this is one of those things where, man, I really wish he hadn't said that. I kind of get caught in making judgment about somebody. And where he says, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That whole judging thing is a tough thing, isn't it? You know? I mean, because there are a lot of people out there that they deserve to be judged just because they're wrong. At least they're more wrong than I am. Right? Isn't that how we oftentimes justify it? You know? Look at what he goes on to say. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I wish he hadn't said that. Because I don't know about you, but I find an awful lot of people around me that got specks in their eyes. And I really want to help them to see better. Okay? I sure don't like it when somebody tries to take a speck, and especially a beam, out of my eye. Sure wish he hadn't said that sometimes. But he did. He did. And we need to really be careful about how we are judging other people. Because again, the warning here is that the measure that we use, that's the measure that will be used against us. Okay? All right? Let's talk about daily living, or let's look at really two things that Jesus specifically in the Sermon on the Mount talks about in terms of our daily living that, I mean, if we're really honest, it's like sometimes I really wish he hadn't have said that. Okay? Here's the first one. And beginning in chapter 6, 19:21, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, you know, we may not and probably don't go around saying, I wish Jesus hadn't said that, not verbally, but we sure do this by our actions. You know why I say that? Because we love stuff. We love our stuff, don't we? And I've talked about this before, how, you know, we sometimes it's like we live by the motto, whoever dies with the most toys wins. Because we are fascinated with stuff. And the more stuff we have, what does that do? It elevates our status in society, right? You see? It's all about the stuff. And we get so preoccupied with our stuff that it's easy to lose sight of the kingdom of heaven and what we have to look forward to for eternity. You know, when I'm really focused on my stuff, and you know, this time of the year, what are we thinking about? I mean, let's be honest. What am I going to get for Christmas? More stuff, you know? Because that's what our focus so often is. It's on our stuff. And Jesus is saying, quit focusing on the stuff and focus on the kingdom of heaven. When it comes to our stuff, we sure wish Jesus hadn't said that. Here's another one. And this is probably one of the biggest areas right here. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. I wish he hadn't said that. I mean, how often, let's be honest, how often do you worry about stuff in your life? Let me ask it a different way. How often every day do you worry about something going on in your life? You see? And yet he says, don't worry. Somehow we've convinced ourselves that if we could just worry for a little while, then two things will happen. Number one, I'll feel better. And number two, it'll take care of itself, right? And neither one of those is really true. Worry just brings more worry. Somehow we seem to like to kind of grovel in our worry, in our misery. And then we start telling other people about whatever is going on, whatever we're worried about. And somehow that's supposed to make us feel better, and all it does oftentimes is just spread the misery around. I'm not suggesting we don't share what's going on in our lives, but Jesus tells us, stop worrying about this stuff. Look at what he says. Don't worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? What are you worrying about? And yet, we so often do, don't we? About all kinds of things. And Jesus tells us, quit worrying. In fact, in verse 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you worry about will be added unto you. So quit worrying. Okay? One other area that I want us to focus on. That Jesus tells us some things here that Again, sometimes we really wish he hadn't have said that. When it comes to following him, okay? First of all, in Matthew chapter 10, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. And again, this is one of those things that sometimes we think, boy, I wish he hadn't have said that. Because right now, where I'm at and what I'm doing, I don't want anybody to know that I'm supposed to be a Christian. You see? I certainly don't want to tell people. So we don't. But the harsh reality of this is that Jesus is telling us something that is uncomfortable. Something that oftentimes we don't like. If we're not willing to acknowledge him before other people, he will not acknowledge us before the Father. Okay? What we would prefer that Jesus had said is something along the line of, don't worry about telling other people about me. As long as you're living as a good person, then I'll let you into heaven. Because isn't that really kind of how we live? I mean, let's be honest. Otherwise, why don't we tell more people about the Lord in our lives? See? Here's another one. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That's kind of, you know, way it is normally, isn't it? No, I'm just joking. Okay? A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And don't we sometimes really wish that he hadn't have said that? When we're trying to do what we're supposed to do, we're trying to live for Christ, and our family speaks out against us, our family doesn't want to have anything to do with us, our family kicks us out, we would a whole lot rather that he hadn't have said that. Where we can just kind of get along with our family and still love Jesus without having to go against our parents or our brothers or sisters or whoever. Wouldn't it be so much easier to be a Christian if that were the case? And the answer is yes, it would be easier, but you wouldn't really be a true Christian because you're not willing to give up everything for him. And that's really what he's talking about. Jesus does not want us to go around hating our family members. That's not his point. His point is that he wants to be first in our lives and does not want us to allow anybody, even our parents or our siblings or anybody in our life, to come between us and him. Okay? But how often do we not say something about the Lord to a family member because we're afraid of how they'll respond? They might treat us differently. They might not ever talk to us again. You see? In the last part of this, Jesus says the other one. That is one of the toughest things. He who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. I wish he hadn't said that sometimes. Because there are times in my life, there are things going on that I don't want to die to right now. I mean, I'm just being honest, okay? And I'm challenging you to do the same thing, to realize that it's not enough for us to give Jesus some parts of our life and not all of us. You cannot partially die on the cross, okay? That never happened. It is an all or nothing situation. But I'm afraid that sometimes what we want to do is keep certain parts to ourselves and allow Jesus to have the other parts. The parts we don't mind Him having control over. The parts that we don't mind dying to because it's really not that inconvenient. But when it comes to those areas that we really like to hold on to, and He's saying, "Oh, you got to die on the cross." I wish He hadn't said that. You know? It would be so much easier, wouldn't it, to be a Christian if some of these things, Jesus hadn't said some of these things. It would be so much easier. Okay? If Jesus hadn't have said some of these things that make my life uncomfortable. But you know what? You know, when Jesus talks about the narrow gate and the wide gate, the many and the few, the reality is, and what He's saying, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it. You see? Everybody would be doing it. It was never intended to be easy. It was always told to us it would be difficult. And so the challenge is for us to look at some of these difficult things. And there are several others, by the way. I just chose these things because they seem to be the ones that we struggle with the most. At least I do. Okay? The challenge is for us to look at these things and to be committed. I know that's what Jesus said. I know that it's tough to do. I'm going to be committed to do it no matter what. Okay? Because that's what He's calling on us to do. So that's the challenge for us this morning. Okay? And I think it begins with just admitting to ourselves that sometimes I wish He hadn't have said that. But then realizing that He did. And now it's time for me to step up and to live accordingly. Okay? Chuck has a song that he has chosen for us to use this morning as an invitation song. And the invitation is extended to everyone. Those of you who are here, if there's something that we can do for you, some of the prayer requests that you have a need, we want to fill that. If there's someone who needs to repent of sin, there's something going on you need to repent of, we want to help you with that. If there's someone here who's not yet given their life to Christ and you're ready to do that, you can become a Christian right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, and you can do that today. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if there's someone out there who's not yet a Christian, you desire to become one, all you got to do is contact us. Wes's phone number will be on the screen at the bottom of the songs. Just text him and let him know, and we will make that happen as soon as is possible with you. If you have a prayer request, do the same thing. The invitation is extended. Let's stand together.